This morning, the title of my message is Chosen, Called and Consecrated. And thank you very much to those of you who've said happy birthday to me today. It is in fact my birthday, and it's been a time over the past few weeks recently where I've just been thinking about my life and my plans. And I've been thinking about what it is that God says about that. And I thought I'd start by sharing what some of my goals were when I was about 11 years old. I have like a little scrapbook, and I used to set goals for every year that I was to achieve. And here are some from when I was about 11. So the first one is to have mastered every computer programming language that year. The second one is to have learned French and be able to speak the whole language fluently. The next one is to have brought hundreds of people to Christ. And then one of my other goals was that I had to be married and having my first child by the age of 25. So these are some of the plans that I've had. And as I'm sure many of you know, I didn't actually achieve some of these things. or in fact, any. And I think maybe these are just a few of the things. And maybe I was a little bit ambitious there. But we all have these ideas, don't we, of what we want to do with our lives, or these things that we plan to do. These things that we intend to do or to complete. And as we know, in Proverbs 19:21, it says, "Many are the plans in a man's heart, but the purpose of the Lord prevails." And I was thinking about this and how often we interpret this to mean that we don't get to do the things that we plan or we intend to do, but that God just takes over our lives with all his plans. But what I believe is that it means that his purpose for us is greater than any ideas that we may have. His plan for us is the best plan. And the reason why God's plans are greater is in the sense that our plans are limited by what we know and what we believe is possible for us to achieve. Whereas God looks outside of time and beyond what is just natural. He knows our gifting area and our talents and how they are best used to build the kingdom. So I'm going to talk about how God has chosen us, called us to a specific purpose, and how we are to consecrate ourselves to him in order to fulfill the purpose he has for us. So I'm just going to read out 1 Peter 2 again in a Message translation. "So, clean house, make a clean sweep of malice and pretense, envy and hurtful talk. You've had a taste of God, now, like infants at the breast, drink deep of God's pure kindness. Then you'll grow up mature and whole in God. Welcome to the living stone, the source of life. The workmen took one look and threw it out. God set it in the place of honour. Present yourselves as building stones for the construction of a sanctuary, vibrant with life, in which you'll serve as holy priests, offering Christ-approved lives up to God. The scriptures provide precedent. Look, I'm setting a stone in Zion, a cornerstone in the place of honour. Whoever trusts in this stone as a foundation will never have cause to regret it. To you who trust him, he's a stone to be proud of. But to those who refuse to trust him, the stone the workmen threw out is now the chief foundation stone. For the untrusting, it's a stone to trip over, a boulder blocking the way. They trip and fall because they refuse to obey just as predicted. But you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he has made for you, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted." So it's clear when we read that God has chosen us. And I want to remind us this morning that God has chosen every one of us to have a relationship with him and to fulfill his purposes. And not one of us has like a more special favour than the other. Sometimes we see these snippets on maybe certain TV channels or in event programmes, and kind of say, you know, this person has a special favour of God on their life, or this person has been chosen with special favour. But I want to remind us that actually God selected every one of us to carry out his will, that we all have access to God's word and to the Holy Spirit. And at the last celebrate, we looked at some graffiti art that said, Elsket and Verdefold. Forgive me if my Danish pronunciation isn't very good there. Which means to be loved and valued. And I want to remind us about how God values us. And we spoke about how he sees value in us so much that he actually sent his only son to die for us. And how God has chosen us for a relationship with him. Despite our faults, our failings, he's chosen us. But we all have our strengths too. And actually, despite whatever our strengths may be, God has called us all to some of the same work. So whatever our talents may be, God has asked us all to do some of the same work. And we tend to discuss and talk about finding your calling, don't we? And often the world talks about having a great career and have all these tests to find out you know, what it is that you should do with your life or what specific area you should go into with your career. But actually, the Bible calls us all to a specific purpose. And so what is that purpose? What has God called us all to do? And the first thing is to be building stones. Verses 4 to 8 says, present yourselves as building stones for the construction of a sanctuary vibrant with life, in which you'll serve as holy priests offering Christ-approved lives up to God. So here, Peter talks in this chapter about the stone and how Jesus is the cornerstone and we are living stones. And Peter is himself a stone. Peter's name actually means stone. So this is why he's using this imagery. So he says that Christ is the cornerstone, and we know that Christ is the chief cornerstone, the one that unites believers into one everlasting temple and bears the weight of the whole fabric. Peter's using this imagery to explain that we're all living parts of the church, of the family of God, that we all have a place in this family and in this building. And in this place, we are to serve, offering our lives up to God. And I've had the privilege of growing up in church. And what I can definitely tell you is that there's no greater adventure than a relationship with Jesus and being part of the church. And God has called us all to be part of the church. And let's be honest, sometimes we might not really feel like it on a Sunday morning. Church might not be the most exciting place for you to go to. But it's something that God has asked us to do, to be living stones and to serve the church. So we're all called to serve. And serve doesn't seem to be a word that we use a lot today, but serve means to perform duties or services for. And we can make that choice to serve. It's an action rather than how we feel. And I know that when we love Jesus, we want to serve him, don't we? Because we know how good he is, and his grace and his mercy motivates us. And so I want to remind you this morning that God has assigned the task of serving the church to us all. And so let's remind ourselves that even if this morning you're feeling discouraged and you think, well, actually, I don't really feel like serving church today or doing what the Lord has asked me to do, I want to remind you that it's who we are as believers. It's who we are called to be. We are called to serve, not just in our homes and local communities, but in the church. And we are called to serve each other as believers. And that doesn't mean that we need to be full-time preachers or have a full-time job in the church. I don't want that to be misunderstood. But I just want to remind us that we're all working together to serve the church and see the extension of God's kingdom. And we're not just serving, but we're serving as holy priests. Verses 4 to 8 reminds us about serving as holy priests and how God has called us to be holy, which we already talked about this last time I preached, so I'll just give us a quick recap. We spoke about holiness of the heart, holiness of the mind, and holiness of the tongue. And verses 11 and 12, Peter reminds us to abstain from fleshly desires, that war against you and to conduct yourselves honourably. Often we can get really focused on our skills and our skill set, and that's not a bad thing to think about how we can use our talents. That's good. But let's not overlook the fact that we are to be holy in our conduct, our attitude, and to work on our hearts and minds, to work on our character, and to altogether become more Christ-like. So we may not know if, you know, God's called us to be the lead singer, to be the guy managing the projector and the words. We might not have that specific idea, but what we do know is that God has asked us to be holy and to go on that journey and to work on our inner person and become more Christ-like, as God wants us to do. So no matter who you are or how old you are, what you look like, what you're good at or what you're not so good at, God has called us all to be holy. And the wonderful thing is that we can all be holy. You know, Sandra reminded us this morning as she read out that scripture, because God has given us his Holy Spirit, because we have the Paraclete who comes alongside to help us. So what else has God called us to? Well, he's called us all to do the work of an evangelist. Verses 9-10, Peter says, God's instruments to do his work and to speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. I find that really exciting, you know. Don't you just want to share sometimes what God has done for you and how he's changed your life? And I get so excited about that. I actually wrote this song, So Good, and my album is released today. And it's about God's goodness and why he's good, what the Bible says about it and who he is. Because actually, I just want everybody to know, and the song kind of starts off, come on now, people. It's time to spread the word about our good Lord who's done so much for us. And, you know, I want to encourage you, church, this morning. This is something that we can all do. Let's spread the word. And Mark 16:14-19, the Great Commission. Later, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table. He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who saw him after he had been resurrected. Then he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new languages. They will pick up snakes. If they should drink anything deadly, it will never harm them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will get well. So this is a command from Jesus that we are to preach the gospel. We're called to do that in our words and actions. And I know that my dad has spoken about this before, hasn't he, about how you know, we need to use both our words and actions to share the gospel. Peter says to tell of the night and day difference he made for you. So we're to tell and show the difference that Jesus has made to us, that he makes in our lives. We're all called to do this. And I love it how at Celebrate, you know, we take a moment for people to share their testimonies, to share the difference that Jesus has made in their lives. And so I want to encourage you this morning, you know, why not be brave and say something in your workplace? Maybe you're somebody who is naturally a little bit shy and you get a little bit nervous about saying things. You know, people say to me, oh, Libby, you're so confident. But even I sometimes, I'm in situations where, oh, I'm not really sure. Shall I just push, you know, this meeting to this person and invite them? I want to encourage you, you know, go for it. Be brave and say something in those moments. And if you're not sure what to say to people, you know, if you're not sure, well, how can I tell them about what Jesus has done for me this week? Or how can I invite them to church? You know, ask the Lord to help you, because I can tell you so many times in my life when I haven't had the words to say or I haven't known what to say to somebody, and the Holy Spirit just guides you and he just gives you the words to say, and God's so good like that. So I just want to encourage you, don't be afraid of sharing the good news, because sometimes we live in a world, don't we, where there's so much focus on political correctness, and often people are afraid of offending others. But I want to encourage you, don't be afraid, because God has asked us all to share the good news. And for everything he asks us to do, he helps us to do it. And I want to remind us this morning that we're all one family. As the church, we are distinct from the world. And how we are consecrated to him. I'm blessed because my mum and dad, when they named me, named me Elizabeth, which means to be consecrated to God, because they wanted that for me and for my life. And that's totally random, sorry. But anyway, I just wanted to remind us this morning how we are to be consecrated to him. And when you consecrate something, you make it holy or dedicate it for a purpose. And I want to remind us how we are dedicated for a higher purpose. And let's choose to remain dedicated to that higher purpose, to the purpose that God has for us. Are we going to be fully committed to God's plans, to carrying out what he has called us to do? Because he has called us to be built on him. So what does that mean, to be built on Jesus? It means to believe in him and to trust him, that he is the one that we base our decisions on and make our life choices around. Our relationship with Jesus is the foundation for everything. So let's consecrate ourselves to him. You know, the Bible says that without faith it is impossible to please the Lord. And so I want to encourage you, you know, let's choose to trust him. And you might say, well, how do I get faith? I feel weak in faith, Libby. You know, how am I actually going to please the Lord, because I don't really feel that I have that faith? Well, ask God. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you with faith. You know, there's a wonderful song by Andre Crouch. I wouldn't be preaching if I didn't mention Andre Crouch. It's Kimberell, who's an amazing vocalist. And she sings, I Need Faith. And she sings a beautiful song of, I need faith. You know, without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. Lord, please give me faith. And, you know, it's like this cry out to God, Lord, help me. I'm not feeling full of faith right now, but I'll choose to believe you, and I call on your name. What are some of the other practical things you can do? Well, surround yourself with good Christians. You know, put yourself around people that will encourage you in God's word and inspire you. Fill your mind with the word of God and keep going. Choose to keep going and to keep trusting and keep believing. I'm just going to read out Psalm 43 as we're on this trail of thought, where David says, Vindicate me, God, and defend my cause against an ungodly nation. Rescue me from the deceitful and unjust man, for you are the God of my refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about in sorrow because of the enemy's oppression? Send your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to your dwelling place. Then I will come to the altar of God, to God, my greatest joy. I will praise you with a lyre, God, my God. Why am I so depressed? Why this turmoil within me? Put your hope in God, for I will still praise him, my Saviour and my God. Trusting God is about more than positive thinking. Positive thinking is just saying maybe, well, God says this and God has said that. But in this psalm, I think it's interesting how we see David move beyond positive thinking, because he moves into action. And maybe this morning, if you think, hey, you know, I need some faith, positive thinking isn't enough. We have to go beyond that and trust God. And what I think what is so incredibly wonderful about this psalm and about this moment here is that David actually just takes stock and he takes a moment to say, do you know what? I'm fed up. I'm thoroughly fed up. This is happening. That's happening. It's all going wrong for me. Nevertheless, I know that God is good, and therefore I will praise him. So thinking about who God is not just something to cheer me up, but it's actually something that motivates me into action. And I actually love how David teaches us in the Psalms to actually take a moment of reflection and to say, this is who I am, this is where I'm at. And he kind of has that honesty about how he feels fed up. But he says, Because God is good, I will thank him and focus on his goodness. He doesn't deny his current position. And sometimes I think in church, we can get a little bit mixed up and we can feel a little bit bad if we don't believe that God is good all the time, or if we don't actually always feel good or feel cheerful, even maybe when we're actually at church in a service. But you know, the wonderful thing here about David is that he just said, I'm fed up. I'm fed up, but I'm going to keep on going, and I will keep on praising and keep on thanking. And things were pretty rough for David for a long time, and things might actually be pretty rough for you too. But I want to encourage you to do what David did there and to remind yourself that despite your questions and your suffering and what's happening around you or what you're going through, that actually you will choose to fix your eyes on Jesus and that you will choose to make a choice to praise him and to keep trusting him, because he is good and he cares for us. So let's choose to trust God and keep on keeping on, because you are a beautiful building stone. And together we bring about the extension of the kingdom as bright, shining lights. And you know, together we shine. No matter how dark it gets, we shine and we stick together forever. Sometimes it gets dark. Think of all that's happening right now. We live in a dark world, don't we? Just, crikey, you only have to switch the news on for 5 minutes and... you know, or even less, and you just see some of the awful things that are happening in the world and all the suffering that is going on. But we have Jesus, who is the hope of the world. And I find it so exciting that the church is a community of hope that is able to spread the good news and to be bright, shining lights. And so if you remember nothing else from today about what your purpose is or what you've been chosen or called to do, I want to encourage you, keep being a part of God's family. Consecrate yourselves to God. You know, stay in this community of hope. Throw yourself into the Word of God and remember that you are valued. We see also how God has called us to be good citizens and to love one another. Verses 11 to 12. Friends, this world is not your home, so don't make yourselves cozy in it. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. Live an exemplary life among the natives so that your actions will refute their prejudices. Then they'll be won over to God's side and be there to join in the celebration when he arrives. Make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities. Whatever their level, they are God's emissaries for keeping order. It is God's will that by doing good, you might cure the ignorance of the fools who think you're a danger to society. Exercise your freedom by serving God, not by breaking the rules. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family. Revere God. Respect the government. So we see these things that no matter who we are, or how old we are, or what our skill set is, our talents, where we're from, that there are these same things that God has called us all to do. And ultimately, one day, we will stand before God, and God will say, did you do? Did you do what I asked you to do? And I hope that in my life, when it's a very scary thought, isn't it really, but when we're at that point, that we're able to say, yes, Lord, I did what you asked me to do. And I want to hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant. And I've been thinking a lot about this lately, as I've said it's my birthday and I'm actually 27 today, and lots of people say to me things about where I should be in my life and what I should be doing and all those kind of things. And it's really just made me focus again and just remind me of actually what is important and what is my focus. And actually the importance of obedience to these things that God has called us to do. And I'm just going to read out some words from a song that I wrote called Did You Do? Did you do, did you do, did you do what I asked? If you love me, you'll do what I have asked you to do. Did I ask you to get famous? No, no, no. To make big money? No, no, no. To focus on your image? No, no, no. To put yourself first? No, no, no. To forget about your heart? No, no, no. To forget about the needy? No, no, no. Did I ask you to prioritise all the things this world tells you were good? No. Did you do, did you do, did you do what I asked? If you love me, you'll do what I have asked you to do. Did I ask you to tell the world about me? Yes. To give and be kind? Yes. To sort your inner person? Yes. To put others first? Yes. To keep a clean heart? Yes. To remember the poor? Yes. Did I ask you to love me with all your heart, your soul and your mind? Did you do what I have asked? If you love me, you will do what I have asked you to do. Build your house on the rock and not on the sand. Be a doer, not just a hearer, and you'll make it through the storms. You will have my peace, eternal life, so put your hope in me. When you feel weak, you will be strong. When you feel weak, you will be strong. When you feel weak, you will be strong. Did you do what I asked? If you love me, you will do what I've asked you to do. And that's what I've been thinking about. And so I just wanted to share that with you this morning and remind you that whatever's going in your life, let's remember these key things, that God has called us to do the work of an evangelist, that he has called us to be building stones, to be part of his family, and that he has called us to serve the church. And to be honest with you, you know, whether we do that through the projector, whether we do it through singing, whether we do it in front of people where they can see us, whether we do it behind the scenes where nobody ever sees us and no one ever knows, you know, God sees it and he values it and he cares for us and he wants our obedience. And the expectations and the demands that he places on us are for our good. You know, when he asks us not to do things, it is to protect us. It is because he loves us. It is because he wants a relationship with him. And you know, the frame of this world is falling to pieces. But God's church will not be shaken, and together we stand firm. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Can I get an amen? Amen. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us, and no weapon formed against us shall prosper. How exciting is that? You know, that we're all together, we are part of the everlasting kingdom. And so I want to remind us this morning that it is up to us if we want to be a part of that, if we want to be a part of this journey that God is taking us on, if we want to be a part of seeing people come to know his goodness, if we want to be a part of contributing to our church, to our wider family, because we all can. So will we do that? Will we be obedient to God's calling? Will we all be living stones? So let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you so much for your goodness. And we thank you that in your word, Lord God, that you have made it clear to us that you would like us to do these things. Lord, thank you that you have called us to have a relationship with you. Thank you that you have called us to have that privilege of sharing the good news through our words and actions. Thank you for your grace and your mercy to us. Thank you that we have the Holy Spirit to help us every step along the way, no matter how weak we may feel or what may be going on. Lord, we thank you that just like you helped David through those difficult situations and helped him to turn to you, Lord, we pray that you would also help us in our trials and difficulties and challenges to turn to you, whatever our suffering or questions, and to remind ourselves that we are loved, we are valued, and that we have a role to play, that we have been chosen by you, called by you. And help us, Lord, to be consecrated to you. And Lord, I pray for anybody in here that may not really know what it's like to have a relationship with you or to be a part of your wonderful family and church. And I just pray, Lord God, that you'd reach out to them right now. And if that's you this morning, I'm just going to give you a moment, just while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, just to put your hand up and just make that declaration before God that you want to have a relationship with him and be a part of his church. And now I just want to invite everybody to stand together. And maybe you might want to hold hands with the person next to you, or maybe not. Or maybe link arms or something. But why don't we just all link arms, or just as a sign that we are together as living stones. And so, Lord God, we just come before you. I'm going to come over here. And Lord, we just stand here before you, and as we're linked like this, Lord, we just pray that you'd help us as we go out of this place to remember that we are part of one family, and that together we are working for the extension of your kingdom, that each one of us has a role to play, that every single one of us is loved by you and known by you, that there's not anybody in here that is loved more by you than the other person, but that we all have a role to play. So help us, Lord God, to remain faithful to you. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Help us to do the work of an evangelist and to remember to be obedient to what you have asked us to do, and that is what you believe is really important. Amen.